The views, opinions, and discussions expressed on this show are those of the host or guest, and not necessarily those of NMJC, its employees, or board of directors.
And good morning, friends. Welcome. It's Lee County with Lindsay on an August day, but by the time you're listening to this, it'll actually have already turned into September 2020. Anytime I say 2020, I kind of not sure what I feel like a Twilight Zone moment when I say that, right? Like I can see something happening out of body. But it is going to be September by the time this is actually on the airwaves. And it doesn't matter what month it is or what year it is, because here on Lee County with Lindsay, I like to share with you the people, the places, the events, the organizations, all things fabulous going on in and around your community. And that is what we're going to do today. And I have to tell you, I've been really stoked the last few weeks that I've gotten to have my show back on. I'm getting to talk about things that are very much pertaining to people of the county and the communities within it. But today, it's actually going to feel kind of like normal. And I do like the word normal, contrary to what everyone thinks. I like my normal. And we're going to talk about things that are happening that people can get excited about, people can get back into. They're going to maybe look a little different. They're going to maybe be handled a little different, but they're still things that are familiar, that are staples of our world, and that are things that we can look forward to. And that is what I'm most excited about for today's show. And my guests to start out to this show are from, of course, our friends at the Western Heritage Museum and the Lee County Cowboy Hall of Fame on the campus of New Mexico Junior College. I haven't got to do that in months, like months.
Daryl trained her well.
Oh my gosh, he worked on it for years. So I did. I went through my full education. But we have Erin Anderson, the director of the museum, as well as Kim Klonch, the curator. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I am super stoked, as I said, to have y'all here so that we can talk about fun, cool things that, again, this is going to be music to a lot of people's ears when we say the word Staked Plains Roundup. But I know as soon as we say that, they're going to go, ooh, how are they going to do that? Well, I mentioned in the beginning, it's going to have a little different vibe. But Erin, I imagine that one of the things you've been tasked with over the last few months is creativity. I think y'all are always considered to be creative, but this is a whole different realm of your creativity, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we can't have people visit us and we really can't go to people. And so we've taken the virtual route. And we've been doing things, you know, for a while. We do our museum minutes every week, and okay, we do Facebook and everything. But Staked Plains is definitely going to be a first of its kind for us.
And for everyone else, which is the good thing. You're kind of all on the same playing field. Like, I think that's good, is that while we're asking you as the people behind the scenes, the logistical people, to be creative, it's the first time for you. It's also the first time for the folks that you're doing this for, right? So expectations, I would think, are kind of on par on both sides of, we don't know what to expect. We just are grateful that we get to do something. It may not be ideal, but what is right now,
right?
So I think there's a lot to be said for that. Before we move on and get details of this, you mentioned the museum minutes. Mm-hmm. Is that what you called them? Describe that and tell people what that's about, because I personally haven't seen or heard it. I know, heartbroken. Kim is heartbroken. I don't want to break any more hearts. I want us to know what that is so that I can make sure I'm getting in touch with my museum. So tell me what's going on there.
So Kim and I started this.
Yeah, we did.
3 years ago? 2 years
ago? At the beginning of my master's degree.
Did you say years ago?
Years ago. Yeah, we've been doing this for maybe about 2017. So beginning of my master's. So 3 years ago now.
So every week, Kim and I do a museum minute video that we put on YouTube, and then it's on Facebook. And we talk about things going on at the museum. We'll talk about museum issues. We'll talk about some questions. We didn't ask a curator thing, which American Alliance of Museums does. Mm-hmm. And it's just to get people to know what's going on at a museum. You know, there's a lot of, well, what do you do? Or, you know, we have no idea what a curator is, kind
of
thing.
Even on a normal day. I mean, that's the kind of the important thing of this, yeah, is this is every day people sometimes have those questions. Even if you've been, sometimes the lingo and and all museums have the potential to be a little different as well. So really talking about how you're doing and what you're doing is important.
And we'll talk about that too. I mean, we'll say, well, our museum is doing this, but others are going to do this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the things we talked about that I had really fun with was when Notre Dame was on fire.
Okay.
And we talked about them preserving those artifacts and getting them out of the church and then using video games to rebuild.
They were using the Assassin's Creed video games because they were looking how Assassin's Creed built the game. They actually go to those places and take 360 videos and imagery of it. And so they were using the Assassin's Creed video games. And I think I just came into Aaron one day and was like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever.
That is so cool, right?
I had a nerd moment and freaked out with her. Moment. And she's like, let's have this conversation then. And so we talked about how they used a video game to rebuild Notre Dame.
So we like to share our thoughts and love of museums. I mean, we've talked about loan paperwork, which is the most boring thing ever. But Kim has found that other museum students are actually like watching our videos and going, oh, well, that's cool.
Like, during class, people would be like, what is this about? And I'm like, oh, I have a video that we just did about this. And so I would send them the video that Aaron and I would do about, you know, what that topic was, especially during my master's degree. And so, or I'd have a question and Aaron's like, let's make a video about this to help you with your homework. And so we'd sit there and have a discussion. And so for homework, we made a video. It was like the best thing ever.
Well, you know, there's one thing, reading for some works well and they can learn and absorb. There is a lot of people though who do better. That's why there's tapes that you listen to, right? Books on tape and those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
These types of moments that you're talking about, you're definitely learning something. That's the point. But it's also in a way and a vibe that I can only imagine with the two of you. It's conversational. It's entertaining, right?
There's we think it's added
stuff. Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious watching us back and editing the videos. We just have like little jokes. We'll send each other like videos of the Snapchat, or I've gotten to it where I'm posting them on Facebook now. I'm like, awesome. You guys, this is hilarious. Like one of the most recent ones we did where we were looking for Blue's Clues, the Blue's Clues song.
We are looking for Blue's Clues.
We just started singing. We just busted out that one. And then Where in the World is Gus and the Chuck Wagon? We started singing that in the video.
That is awesome. So I think that I want to make sure when you talked about those a few minutes ago and I was like, oh, I have to admit to them, I don't know what those are. I thought we need to make sure we get that message out. Now they can go to Facebook and find it.
Yes. Every Thursday we post it.
Okay.
About, because the videos have been coming out at 2 o'clock. Now they're going to, YouTube is making us change it to 15 minutes later. So it'll be coming out at 2:15.
Darn YouTube.
Right.
Always in the control.
But you can go to our YouTube channel and just check them all out there.
And we have different playlists for you to watch.
And the nice thing is those, to me, I don't like to watch a long video on YouTube. Yeah. I think I'm old and I can't.
So research says that you're not alone, right? Research says shorter is better, actually.
So these
I don't know how to do short.
We call it museum minute, but they're 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes.
Oh, but people can make time for 5 or 10 usually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Think of how many times you see people's faces in their phones or their devices. 5 or 10 minutes is nothing, right? And it's like you said, you're keeping them engaged and captured. And that's one of, I think, the big things about that.
Right. And we want people to ask us questions. We want to answer questions. You know, we kind of run out of topics because we're like, we do this every day.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you
want to
know?
What do people want to know?
Right. Well, and the cool thing is coming up here in September is another Ask a Curator Day. And Erin's already noticed I've started doing this. I've released a Facebook post on Ask a Curator Day. And she already knows I'm going to be bugging her. And like, we're going to do another Ask a Curator video, right? Because I think we did 12 back at the beginning of this year.
That's so cool.
But these are common questions people want to know. Like, I would have never wanted to know if someone, or I would have never thought that someone would want to know, does a curator have a tattoo? No, I personally don't,
but I do.
But Aaron does. But right? these are just weird. Like, is your museum haunted? That was
the
question
I like
that came
out
yesterday. And
now Lucy Acosta, shout out to her, thinks it is.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay, so do you have you and Lucy had this, I'm gonna call it a debate loosely, or are we gonna see that? Is that gonna be coming?
We should do that.
Yes.
I mean, that would be fun.
And then we'll have our sister going, no, please, I don't want it to be haunted.
But like the questions people ask are just, you know, in the profession, you don't think of those questions, but it's honestly interesting to know, like, I love the other one. I haven't gotten to it yet. Like, if your museum was on a TV set, what would the name of your TV show be called?
They're making y'all think pretty hard, right?
I haven't figured out the answer to that
yet.
Okay,
but when you do, you'll let us know.
Oh, yeah,
One of the things I love about how y'all are describing this is these are probably some fans, right? These are faithfuls, whether they're in the museum world, whether they're Western Heritage fans.
So parents.
Parents, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, that counts too. These are people who obviously have built relationships with you, whether it's in person because they know you, or whether it's because maybe now that y'all have been doing these, they feel like y'all are friends from that virtual perspective. I think it's so cool that these questions are having a little bit of a, I'm going to call them personal nature, but they're just not your normal museum Q&A.
Exactly.
And I think that is a testament to how you've engaged them and they feel like they are part of your world. So that is very intriguing to me about wanting to go and watch these. You mentioned, Erin, that we can go to the YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. That way we can catch up for the 2 years that we may have been horribly bad and missed, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, so Lindsay, cool. The really cool thing is you mentioned, you know, they virtually have become friends with us. But yeah. Especially during quarantine and lockdown, we can count those people as attendees, basically.
Ah, excellent.
Because we've been reaching out to them and they've been interacting and watching the videos. And
which is super important from a facility who is your entire game mm-hmm. is measured in people who are coming to the facility in most cases or now interacting with you with what you're offering.
Right. So. And that's why these are so important, which segues in.
Go for
to
it.
To virtual staked planes.
Now, when you told me a couple of weeks ago when you said, we're going to be doing this, I want to talk about it. And I literally was so excited. But then I stopped for a minute. I was like, okay, ropers, animals, hay, eating food, walking around, hundreds and hundreds, maybe it's thousands of children and parents and teachers. All of what I have, my historical vision of Staked Planes Roundup. And now I'm trying to transition that into what could they possibly be bringing to make a virtual staked plane. So the floor is yours, ladies, because I think interest is peaked and we are just dying to hear about how we're going to make this happen and how we can get involved.
All right. So a little history of staked planes. Staked planes has always been an event where we bring in school kids. It started with, I think it was fourth grade, and then it went to second grade, and then
yeah,
it was third grade.
Yeah, it jumped around a lot.
Now it's fourth grade again.
Okay.
Last year we brought in...
Busloads.
2,000 fourth graders
okay,
last year.
Okay, there we go, 2,000. I was like, I think hundreds is probably minimized.
Over 2 days.
Okay.
And so it's always, always usually, that doesn't make sense, but the second Thursday, Friday of September.
And people count on this. Parents count on this for one kid's gone through it. Mm-hmm. Now they can't wait for the next kid to get to that or vice versa because it did change. But there are parents, the community, there are people, adults who just mm-hmm. want to come out and be part of it. Mm-hmm. This is something that I think has become a staple in the community.
And kids will always say, oh, I remember the roper. Oh, yes. I remember, you know, whatever.
Right.
So it's really cool. So this year obviously is different. School is completely different. Life is completely different. So we knew... we would have to do something else. I mean, we wanted Staked Planes to be out there. It's a shame if we can't get 2,000 kids here, you know, and teach them about life on the Staked Planes or the Llano Estacado.
Which is our history.
Exactly.
Yes. Right.
So it turned into how do we reach these kids? And then the last couple of years, we've been doing a community event mm-hmm. with the Chuck Wagon Cook-Off and a community dance last year. And so how do we reach these people if we can't bring them to us?
Okay.
And so... I'm going to say, you know, I had seen the National Ranching Heritage Center in Lubbock. They did a virtual ranch day, which is their big spring thing.
Recently?
It was in March, April.
Oh, okay. So this was very early on.
Yeah, a little while ago.
Our...
But it kind of sparked my, hey, we could do a mm-hmm. virtual event. Why can't we, you know? And they just posted a few videos over a day and said, you know, this is what we do over ranch day. But this turned into, let's get with our presenters and film them. Mm-hmm. They can film themselves, we can have a conversation, whatever, however they want to do it.
Right.
And so then it kind of became bigger and we got people who normally aren't part of our Staked Planes. Oh, yeah. Kim's dad, for instance.
Okay.
He's a reenactor into the whole frontiersman stuff.
Oh,
and
how
so
cool.
When we filmed him, he actually set up his tent and he got everything all together. And it was like, I love watching him do his reenactment stuff. So I was like a little kid in the candy shop.
Right.
But it was actually fun to film him and edit that for him. And so I'm excited to share that with everyone because that's part of our history that no one knows about, you know?
It is so important to think about what else is beyond what we're used to. And there are probably a lot of people, such as your dad, who have ways of contributing mm-hmm. that just have either, it just hasn't worked in the past. Maybe nobody's thought of it. Maybe they didn't think about how they could fit in. But when you have to get creative, all of a sudden more, that really does, I think, develop lots of opportunities.
It opens so many different doorways.
Right.
And okay. So what we're doing is the actual Staked Plane days that it would be normally, the 10th and 11th this year, we are doing from 8 to 5 p.m. some kind of video on the hour every hour.
Very cool.
Either it's our presenters or it's us doing a little sneak peek of what's coming next year or, you know, something like that. And then in between that, we'll have the activities that our educator, Mary Lyle, has come up with. Or little videos that we've done for Museum Minute mm-hmm. that fit in there. You know, just we're going to try to do something all day so that teachers, community, you guys can log on to Facebook or our YouTube channel.
Okay.
And just learn something about the Staked Planes. And what I really like about this is that it's going to be up until our channel disappears for whatever reason.
Right.
You know, and we're going to add to it.
Okay.
So this is also kind of an invitation. If you have an idea of, life on the Staked Plains and you have a demonstration that you want to show us, you know, like Kim's dad, let us know. You know, reach out to us. Maybe we just have never heard of it before and we want to branch out.
I think this is going to be so cool. And again, it makes so much sense. It seems so logical. I know it's not necessarily easy to coordinate and piece it all together. Lots of effort on your part. But from a viewer's perspective or a participant, maybe that's what I want to call it, it's I'm like, oh, of course, videos. We've done nothing but videos, conferences and calls and these kinds of things. It makes a lot of sense. But I honestly had not even been able to put my head around that part of what were you going to do? But you can literally capture almost all the same elements mm-hmm. that you were able to provide. I like touchy-feely. I like being right up in it, smelling it, and sometimes going, ooh, pew, you know, animals and all that. But at the same time, this is, and of all people, our audience nowadays, these kids, they're all about watching stuff on mm-hmm. their devices. This is not going to be like branching out for them. And I love what you said about the schools. How easy would it be for a teacher to incorporate this into her day, his yeah. day, to be able to provide this? And what I also think is interesting is I know it's targeted to a certain age group usually, but now you can really branch out, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And just to compare it to the Museum Minutes are a little shorter. Mm-hmm. We did these because normally at Staked Plains, the kids get a 12-minute presentation from the presenters.
Okay.
These are about 15 minutes.
Okay.
So even if you don't have a full 15 minutes to show to your students, pick out a part that applies. You know, we know the teachers are stressed beyond belief right now.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they don't have a whole lot of time to do something outside the curriculum. But if you just need a break, you know, pull up our branding video. CJ and Clayton Reed will explain how you read a brand.
Oh, and it's funny.
It's funny. Well, and also, this to me, again, might have something... I'm all about the emotional right now, mm-hmm. the psyche right now. I think there is so much that we're not able to grasp as far as the impact to not just our kids, but definitely our kids, mm-hmm. our teachers, but everyone is in this environment is somehow having to adjust mentally and emotionally to what's going on. This, I think, we'll have this cool connection and vibe to something, again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, more normal. And even though it's different, I do think that this could really feed some souls of going, oh, cool, look. And I don't know what they're providing in the online curriculum that they're doing right now. And I'm sure they've got lots of videos, but they're not videos because of the way that it's a national program, right? Mm-hmm. These are not locals. It's not people that they might or that they know that this has to do right out here at the junior college. Mm-hmm. I think that connection might be really helpful for our kids and our teachers.
Right. And part of this was just to get the museum out there.
Right.
I mean, we want you to remember we have a museum. We are yep. here working. You know, even if we're not open to you, we're here. But it's also to remind you that, you know, Staked Plains is a thing.
It is.
Even mm-hmm. if we're not actually doing it physically this year, it's still here. And so that's why we really wanted it on those days, just to make it feel like Staked Plains, a little bit of normal in this crazy world.
And I do think, I told y'all that I sometimes do better than others at this. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I love that we are not forgetting our history of mm-hmm. what Lee County is all about, yeah. in spite of the times and in spite of what's going on in our world. We appreciate our heritage. That's why we have a museum that showcases it. It doesn't mean that we aren't excited about all the other great things that continue to help it move us forward, advance us. But this is great to be able to help just historically reference what this area was like, what it's based on, and help remember that there's a huge population of current residents that are still living in the world of this way of life and this heritage that is so valuable and important. And by the way, this is Gus, isn't it?
Look at Gus. He's
I
so cute.
I love Gus.
You guys to look on our Facebook page or website and see the Gus that Brian Davis has made. He's
that is
so cute.
Adorable. It just hit me a minute ago. I was like, oh my goodness, that's Gus. So look at the flyer for Staked Plains Roundup. You need it anyways to make sure that you have the dates and that you're got the link to the website and Facebook and all that good stuff. And then you can see Gus because that is absolutely adorable.
It's amazing.
Yep. And looking so at the cute. Flyer, I forgot that this will be posted on Instagram as well. So if you
cool.
follow Facebook or Instagram, it's going to be posted all day. And if you want YouTube, we're actually going to post it very first thing that first
comes out at 7:15 that morning.
And you can access all those videos.
All of them will be up. You don't have to wait sequentially for the hour that it's going to show up on social media. Okay. That is so cool.
And the other thing that we always want to mention on these is feel free to leave us a comment. Even if we can't answer the question, like Erin has said, we'll do our best to answer that question. Or we might want to make a separate video on that.
Who knows what will come of the question.
Exactly. Okay. That's always the answer. If you have a question, you never know if we'll answer it then in a text message form or we'll do it in another video.
So. You know, I love that interactive piece because even though these are videos that they're going to watch, you do still have the opportunity. And I say, ask questions, make comments. If you have something to provide that maybe we can do in the next weeks after this that can still be connected, fabulous. And make sure to show the love. Make sure to say how much you're enjoying it, because I think that too is something that we're missing right now. We're missing that feedback where you usually get it either in the smiles on the faces or the appreciation of the teachers telling you thank you again for your effort. Let's not forget that that's something that we still want to be encouraging both as adults and from our kids.
Right. So, and I do just want to say a quick thank you to all of our presenters.
Yeah, absolutely.
They took time out of their day to either Zoom with us or film themselves, or we went and filmed them. And they just provide such great information. And I mean, from everywhere, we have Carlsbad, Albuquerque, Lubbock.
Awesome.
Here, you know, and so doing virtually, we were able to reach out a little more than we usually do, which was really nice.
I think that's very cool. About how many presenters do you say you have?
Do you have a ballpark?
12?
That's very cool.
Sure. 10 to 12, I'm going to say.
That's awesome. Yeah. Very exciting. And as you mentioned, the videos of the presenters, and then there's going to be other things kind of filling in the space as
We put in there the two exhibits that everyone had missed, the Inferno, Facing the Inferno, and Pollinators, because those relate to our area.
Okay.
Because we have wildfires
and
pollinators.
And then there's just, you know, crosswords and coloring pages.
Awesome. Because the activities really in that interaction with the kids, that's one of the biggest elements that I know they love. So you're not losing that in this. You're still providing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So cool, ladies. So cool. Tell me real quick. I see this other flyer, Take and Make. That sounds cool. What's this? What are we doing here?
All right. So again, we can't have you at the museum quite yet, but we want you to take some of the museum home with you. Mm-hmm. So second Saturday of the month until December, we are going to be out at the front by the windmill.
Okay.
Drive up. We're going to hand you a little packet of activities or crafts for each person in the car, and then you can take two extra if someone's not in the car.
Parents just now go, oh, thank you, right?
We'll be out there from
10
to 1
p.m. Hard to find stuff right now to entertain our kids. Yeah. We've been doing it for months. We've been trying to entertain our kids for months.
Yeah, so 10 to 1 p.m., we're going to be out in front of the museum. There's a limited number of packets, but there's going to be 200 to 300, so plenty of packets.
Okay.
Come on out. Social distance, you know, we'll just hand it to you and you can go home and have some fun. And each month is going to be themed. This month, September, is going to be Staked Plains. So we're going to make Native American rattles. We're going to do some hummingbird feeders for pollinators.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, this is the coolest thing. Yeah. I absolutely love this.
And this was the brainchild of our educational director. So
that doesn't surprise me. The components are included in the bag as well as instructions.
Yes. Only things you need to bribe is like scissors and tape.
Right. The basics that you have around the house.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. You mentioned Staked Plains Roundup in September, November, of course, Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I love. I skipped October. I went the wrong direction. October, Muertos.
Yeah, Day of the Dead. Yeah.
Love it. Dia de los Muertos. And that's October 10th. And these are all actually, the second Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, is when you usually have your family fun days. Is that the equivalent?
Kind of, yeah.
It's the same concept of being able to engage
the
families. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then so we mentioned October, November's Thanksgiving, and then Christmas traditions. Do you know what the intent or plan is about Christmas traditions as far as, I know I'm jumping ahead, you don't even know when you'll be open or how you'll be open, but do you have a thought on what's happening there?
I do, and I hate to say it. We're going to cancel Christmas traditions this year.
Mm-hmm. Too hard to know.
Yeah.
Too hard to be able to.
Because even if we can do 25% or 50%, you know, we usually have 600 people.
Right.
And
the amount of time, effort, and money invested by your booths is significant to then. I get it.
So we hate to say that, but
but you know, I'm glad if you know that we're sharing so that people can, because I know they'll start to be thinking about it, and then we'll probably have to remind them of that. But there's just too much unknown of what we will or will not be able to do. So, but the kids and families luckily will still benefit because you are going to provide Christmas traditions in a cute little bag with a lot of instructions and fun things for them to be able to do at home.
Exactly.
Together.
There may be some glitter, just warning you. I mean, it's Christmas.
Glitter! Glitter. I have some friends right now who are going, well, I'm not a kid, but I'm going to get that.
I love it.
Please don't hate us for the glitter.
Well, I may not be adding the glitter to mine because I am one of those parents, but I love that some people are going to be stoked, right? Okay, so Steak Plains Roundup, virtual style, happening September 10th and 11th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can find it all over the internet. Based on all of the great options that the museum provides to you, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, as well as links from the website. And Take and Make, happening on the second Saturday of every month, September, October, November, and December. Come pick up those crafts. They are going to be able to basically hand them to you at a through the window. You take them home. You do them as a family.
And they're free. Did I mention that? I don't think I did.
We love free. Which, again, Steak Plains Roundup, it's virtual. It's free.
Exactly.
So yeah. you cannot get away from all the greatness that is going on here. And I just want to make sure that you guys know, I think we all recognize how much effort has to go into making this happen in this way. And as a community who has always appreciated the Western Heritage Museum and the Lee County Cowboy Hall of Fame on the campus of New Mexico Junior College, as someone who has always done that, it's still important for us to make sure that you guys know how much we appreciate you now, probably more than ever, for knowing that it is such an interesting time. Your hands are a little tied, but you're still managing to make sure that we are interacting with you on a weekly basis with your mm-hmm. museum minutes, mm-hmm. and then not forgetting these important opportunities to really get people more involved. And I just want you to know, I personally appreciate it, and I think probably there is a huge percentage of Lee County that would say the same. So don't forget that as you are sitting here doing all these things. I know it's got you just need to know you are appreciated, even if nobody's really having a chance to tell you.
Well, we do appreciate that.
Yeah,
it's been different for
I
sure.
Can only imagine. I can imagine. But keeping the momentum, the museum has done so much over the last years. I think y'all have really made such a great name for yourself in all of this time. And it's just like anything else, it's unfortunate that now it's kind of had this dip. Mm-hmm. But it's only a dip if we allow it to be, because once those doors do open up again, I have a feeling that people will be rushing back to see you and all that you have to offer. But until then, we'll
Lindsay,
take advantage.
Even if it's 2021 when we open, we have some really exciting exhibits, and we will come back and talk to you about those.
I know you will. And you said you may tease some of those for the Steak Plains Roundup, right? So
yes.
I am excited to hear about all of that. And I know that we are excited about when we can get back in the building. But we are really excited about doing virtual Steak Plains Roundup. It's such a pleasure to have you both. Thank you so much, Aaron, Kim. Thank you. All right, folks, that does not end our show for today. As I mentioned, I am so excited that we get to talk about all the fun things that you can get excited about yourself, look forward to, get involved with. We have folks from the First Tee program here in Lee County coming up right after this.
Hey y'all, I'm Booger Brown from Booger Brown Cattle and Performance Horses. You can catch me on the hit TV show, The Cowboy Way on INSP. I work hard to abide by the cowboy code just like the pioneers of the Old West. And that's why today I'm asking you to respond to the 2020 census. Filling out the census is our civic duty. It's all about looking out for our neighbors, having faith in a better future, and that's the cowboy way. The Constitution requires a census every 10 years. It determines our congressional representation and informs funding for our communities, including grants for rural housing, schools, health care, emergency services, and businesses. Responding is easy, safe, and important. Visit 2020census.gov to learn more.
And thanks again to our guests there. We had Aaron and Kim from the Western Heritage Museum and the Lee County Cowboy Hall of Fame on the campus of New Mexico Junior College. And thank them so much for taking the time to come and talk about the virtual Steak Plains Roundup. It's going to be super cool. Please make sure that you take advantage of all their hard work and the opportunity to learn and enjoy, no matter what age. I think there's a lot there that you can get out of that. But make sure you share it with your young people, because they're definitely the ones who benefit from that event live and in person year after year. But I think this virtual will definitely be an option as well. Okay, we're going to shift gears a little bit. I mentioned earlier, as well as right before the break, that I'm just so glad to have people on who are talking about things we get to get excited about, things that we get to do. And of course, out here at our public golf course at Rockwind Community Links, we have been very fortunate to be the beneficiary of the First Tee of Southeast New Mexico program now for, let's see, I guess we're going on 5 years, because since Rockwind opened, First Tee has been part of that. And we've talked about different things year after year, but today we have Bailey Mills, who's the head coach, and Tanya Lackey, who's the program coordinator for Hobbs specifically for the First Tee, in the studio to talk about First Tee being back and running. Ladies, welcome, and thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, one of the things I think is great to talk about is First Tee actually is one of the few things that I know of that, because it's outdoors, because you can really social distance and make that spacing work easily, it's gone on through the whole summer in some degree and capacity, right?
Yes, so we've actually programmed through the summer. We did 4 weeks at here and in our Lovington location, and we've been able to keep our ratios 5-1 under the guidelines. Mm-hmm. And so we had a very successful summer. Students came out, they loved it, loved getting out of the house and were able to see us. So it was amazing.
Well, and I just want to say that that is one of the things that I have think has been the most heartbreaking is summer is, you know, we have a very specific idea in our head about what that means. The kids definitely have an idea of what summer means. And for most people, I know they didn't get their summer. This was probably one of the few things. The city was able to offer some other camps in a shortened version. I know there are some other things going on, but this to me is crucial that y'all were able to provide this for some of these young people for their health mentally as much as anything, but of course physically too, that they're not sitting at home on the couch watching TV or playing video games. So this has been a big deal, and I just want to say thank y'all, because it's easy sometimes to just go, oh, you know what, the world's crazy, we don't know what we're doing, we're just going to sit and ride this out. And instead, y'all jumped into taking advantage of being allowed or able to do that per the orders. So I just say kudos to y'all for doing that, because it's a weird time, right?
Right. Yeah.
Weird time. Okay, so Bailey, what we're talking about today is looking ahead, right? Mm-hmm. Summer was great. It was able to get a lot of people out, but now we're looking towards fall. Before we go there, can one of you help me identify? I know last year, and I think it was far enough before the pandemic that we can talk about it, but y'all were able to really get into the schools, I think, in a different way. Are y'all still doing that program where you're actually getting into the schools?
So what we've done previous is we went to the Boys and Girls programs at the school locations.
Okay.
And we would program there. So we have done that previously.
Okay.
And then we have also have our equipment in the school system, so the PE coaches can actually pass it around if they want to, if they need to. So we're in the schools a couple different ways, and then always we see a bunch of the kids from schools out at the golf course.
Of course. That's what it was. I knew that I actually probably didn't know the details of y'all aren't going in and teaching or instructing in the schools, but you provided financially, literally handed over the equipment to the PE teachers, basically, to be able to expand their offerings and be able to start getting kids acquainted with golf clubs and how to swing and what that whole game is about.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. And even we give them our curriculum too. There's a book for the PE coaches with the First Tee curriculum in it. So there's even guided games with the big oversized snag clubs for them.
And that is actually a nationally standardized curriculum, I believe, because First Tee is a national program.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, very, very nice. And then the Boys and Girls Clubs, as you mentioned, I know they're always excited about people being partnering with them and things that they can do, and great instructors at those different locations. So that's awesome. Lots of kids is what my point is, have been now exposed to golf in a way that they have not ever had the opportunity potentially before. And that is one of the beauties. Golf kind of has a stereotypical feel to it in some ways. The community links Rockwind was designed to break down some of those barriers of people feeling like it was only for a certain group. And First Tee is really paving the way to make sure that everyone, no matter what your previous interest, no matter where you live in Lee County, because I do think y'all have a lot of county kids participating, but specifically I know the Hobbs Schools and the Hobbs Boys and Girls Club, that are really being able to be exposed to the new sport for them of golf, and then see if they're interested, see if they like it. And a lot of kids, it appears, really do end up enjoying it, because then they take your First Tee program classes and come out and do it on their own when it's not an extracurricular school type of activity. And Tanya, that's really, talk about measuring success. Yeah. Your classes for First Tee being full or having tons of participation, I think they fill up most of the time, don't they?
They do, yeah. I don't think that there's ever been a time where it's not filled up, has it?
No, not usually. I mean, we're pretty close to our limit.
You have a few heads, few
yeah, maybe yeah. like three or four. I mean, we're cutting That's it very big. Close most times.
That's
so.
A big deal. Now, Tanya, one of the reasons that you're involved now, I say one of the reasons, the maybe impetus of what made you decide to get involved is your kids have been doing this yes. and being those kids that I mentioned who are getting to expand their horizons in a new sport and grow their game. Talk to me a little bit about as a parent, how that, what you've seen, what the benefits for your kids have been, and share maybe for some parents out there listening that they've never played. They don't have anyone in their family that's ever played. It's kind of foreign to them, golf, right. and how they could maybe look at this as something that they would want to get their kids involved in.
Well, for my family, golf was a game changer. I mean, it was something that we were able to all go out and do, and we were all able to participate in, even though... I personally didn't play golf. It was something that you can start out slow and you can build. But for the first tee in particular, it was something that they had people that were willing to invest in them on a daily basis. And they would go out there and they would have people at the golf course invest in them and just want to see them out there. And it was just a game changer for them to be able to develop something on their own and not have to wait on a team to come mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. Rockwind has been amazing for our family, but the first tee, it was our very first look at golf. And for the kids to be able to go out there and be involved in first tee, they've never stopped.
Yeah.
They've never stopped playing it from that point forward. Bailey, I think, was one of their first coaches. Is that correct?
I was, yeah. yeah. And I would give Fallon all of my hand-me-down golf clubs yes. at the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
and Bailey, you have been involved in this from the get-go. And I just want to, when Tanya hits on the point of multiple family members not having any experience, mm-hmm. and then because the kids got involved, or maybe one member was involved, but it just never really was something that everyone was encouraged to come out and do together. That has been, I think you guys have seen a lot of success in that movement of, this isn't just a one person mm-hmm. of a family sport.
Right.
There are lots of families who are now, I don't think they call themselves avid golfers, some of them, but some of them do. Some of them have actually mm-hmm. now, this is kind of what they base their entire world around is, when can we go golf?
Exactly.
And it's not just the adults, or it's not just dad, it's the entire family going mm-hmm. together.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. And Rockwind has a very unique setup. So we actually have a par 3 course out there mm-hmm. that also has a foot golf course. So you can bring a soccer ball out there and play foot golf as well. So, I mean, you could have half the family golfing. You could have right, half yeah. the family playing foot golf out there. It's just very family oriented, which is the best thing. I mean, live music, the golf course has the families out all the time. Ben Kirkus, who's the pro out there now, is just phenomenal. He helps out mm-hmm. anyone that he can. Like, it's just so nice to be out there.
It becomes a family. You go
yeah.
out there and you think that you're going to be on your own mm-hmm. and the relationships the kids have built, going out there, starting at the first tee, starting with mm-hmm. Bailey, starting with Christy Hughes, going to developing that friendship with Ben, there's a family that you develop out there that you just really don't know it's fixing to come at you until it's there.
Well, yeah. as a golfer, from the time I was, I think my dad got me going when I was 4 or 5. I had my own clubs when I was 6. Mm-hmm. I was that kid. And then as an adult who didn't play as much as she should have, could have, or would like to have in my young years, and then had kids and, you know, excuse after excuse.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't play often, it can be intimidating, right?
Right?
Yeah.
It can
yes,
be an
definitely.
Intimidating game. It's not the easiest thing to do. And it's one of those things where, just like everything, if you want to be decent at it, you got to practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the good news is that from a, I love that you brought up the Little Rock and the mm-hmm. par 3. I didn't realize the foot golf, and I feel like I knew a lot about what was going on at Rockwind. I'm pretty engaged. I did not know y'all had the foot golf opportunity and that you could kind of do it simultaneously mm-hmm. even.
That
was so
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
like, oh my gosh, that's a great thing. We'll have to talk more about that in a minute. But the idea of the par 3, for instance, which is a great place for families who have not played to mm-hmm. start.
Exactly.
It takes out the intimidation. There's not people behind you who are going to be going, you know, oh my gosh, get out of our way. We're trying to play a game here.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone kind of recognizes what's going on and that you're learning and growing. And it is incredibly affordable. incredibly mm-hmm. affordable. I think kids are free. The dad or the parent plays. Mm-hmm. I say dad. That's my world is my dad, right? But the parent goes out there. I think you pay, is it $6?
It's $6.
Yeah, $6. Yes. And then your kids go to, they get to play for free. Yeah. I mean, there's nowhere else in town that you can get that kind of, not just entertainment for that price, but you're also increasing your capacity and you're doing it as a family. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just layers upon layers of how good this is.
That was exactly how we started out. It was a date night every Friday night with our family.
I love that.
And when Seth and Fallon were able to get out there and play with James, they would play. And Aubrey and I being, you know, she was the youngest.
Right.
And so we would play foot golf. And that was every Friday night for our family once they got involved with the first tee and started loving it. That was what we did.
You know, that is a great story. If as much as I love what we're going to talk about first tee coming up in this fall session, that right there was probably so much worth this discussion for the radio, because I think a lot of people, and as a marketing person in Lee County, I still am baffled by how much I try to get the word out about things that I'm involved in, and people still sometimes just don't know, right?
Yeah.
So I am hoping that people who have heard this, whether you knew parts and pieces or maybe you knew the whole thing, but go out and share that information. Go out and make sure that people that you know are aware of the opportunities that we have right here in our backyard. I say that too because we're willing to drive and travel on a normal day, not during pandemic, right?
But right.
In a normal world, we're willing to drive to go do things. You don't have to. You can literally go out to Rockwind and date night. I love it. The whole family got to go out and enjoy, and they looked forward to it probably every Friday.
Yep.
And in the meantime, the kids were doing their first tee program. And I would love when my kids get old enough where I can go, I'm going to go for the afternoon and go play golf. And then I get to have my time. But then on Saturday, we all go together as a family or whatever the case may be.
Right. And that's the amazing thing about first tee was Seth got hooked on golf first.
Okay.
And Fallon slowly caught up. But we couldn't afford to buy golf clubs for both of them.
Right.
And so with the first tee, they provided the equipment for her to be able to start and play.
Excellent.
And then the same thing happened with Aubrey. And then when she got done with it, she handed them back. And at that time, we were able to purchase her own set. So if you want to give it a try, it doesn't cost you anything. You get involved in the first tee. They help provide everything that you need to see if golf is for you.
See, and I hadn't even thought of that part, but for a lot of parents, that's probably a big concern is I've heard these golf clubs are outrageous. Well, don't worry about it because that's part of what you provide. Okay, so now let's go into it. Let's dive into what is going to be offered this fall from the first tee's perspective.
So this fall, we will have our programming for our preschool kids ages 3 to 4 on Wednesdays.
Okay.
And then Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we will have, 5 years and up.
Okay. And different days for different ages, or everybody comes and it's just at different times?
So 5 and 6 year olds will come on Wednesdays at around 4-ish, I want to say. We have our schedule online.
Okay.
And then 7 and up will come on Monday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
And it's different classes.
And I was going to say, Tanya, you mentioned the relationships they develop with these coaches and with these people who are, and I love how you described they invested in them. It has to be, while there's a group and there's multiple kids, they have it small enough, even on a non-COVID day, that they're able to really do a lot of one-on-one. And in golf, you have to kind of do that, right? That's just the nature of the beast. So it's amazing to me that listening to you, they came out there and they knew they were going to have some time to just do their thing, work on it on themselves, and be able to practice and do. But they didn't ever worry that they weren't going to get the attention they needed to be able to actually teach them something to help them improve.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. And the very, really cool thing about it is, this summer, actually, Seth and Fallon were able to take part in being those life coaches with younger kids. So, I mean, it's a whole circle. You know, they had Bailey and other people investing in them, and now they're both on the Hobbs High School team, and now they're turning around and investing in younger kids.
Well,
and so it's amazing.
And when you talk about being on the high school team, I just want to point out to maybe people who haven't really thought about golf as an option again. There are lots and lots, the JC being one, the USW being another, of college golf programs across this country that you could encourage your child to be in a sport. And if they enjoy it and they are working hard at it,
there's lots of potential that that could help get them through a college education.
Exactly.
And I just don't want people to think or forget the potential. And the golf programs in Lee County are good. All the high school programs are very active. They're very involved. We got a lot of people. I think we have more now maybe than we've had in the past, probably because of First Tee. That whole story that you just told, I mean, I'm sure that you're the poster child for First Tee in a lot of ways, and that's probably one of the things you're going to be great at in this position, is you just know firsthand the evolution of it, the circle of it, as you mentioned. And I think that is the great thing that we need to really be pushing here, is for all those who maybe don't know, or for maybe you do know, it's such a great way. And Bailey, when we're talking about these classes, what the charge is fairly minimal, right?
Yeah, so it's $60, okay. Or you can apply for financial aid, and we do give out scholarships to anyone in need. So
awesome.
We have a couple different options. And then, of course, we provide everything from tees, golf balls, clubs. All you have to do is show up with tennis shoes and maybe some water, and that's about it. We take care of everything else if needed. So
and $60 includes how many weeks?
So it includes from September 14th to November 2nd.
I think that's
around.
Time.
Yeah, it's around 8 weeks, I think.
And that's one time a week for those weeks. Mm-hmm. And again, if you want the ages and the times and the dates that your class would be, you can go to your Facebook page. Is that on there?
Yeah, so we have a Facebook page that you can go to. And then we also have a website that you can go to. It's going to be the First Tee southeasternnm@gmail.com for emails. And then the website is the First Tee of Southeastern New Mexico.org.
And you can find those, like them. Y'all do a great job of communicating what's going on, what's coming up. And always you can just waltz out to Rockwind. I know they have information sitting in the clubhouse at Rockwind that you could get information there as well. And, you know, you mentioned Ben, you mentioned the coaches, the instructors. I know that the family unit out there is a really cool concept, but I also know that the people who have worked with First Tee since this program came to Hobbs and came to Rockwind, they are super passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
And from the top down, I feel like people are stoked it's working. They are happy to have kids out there. I think that they get excited when it's, you know, First Tee time is coming up and those kids are going to be coming up. And it is. It's a lot of them, I think, are known on a first name basis by like the whole crew. There's so much interaction because this is what the future of golf is.
Right.
That's the investment that the course is making, the program's making, is knowing that golf will be able to continue and thrive here in Lee County because of educating and training young people to enjoy it, value it, and appreciate it. And that's really, not to mention all the other things that we kind of hit on that they are going to get out of it as well. So great stuff. This all starts pretty quick.
Yes.
Do you, I'm assuming that you have some empty spaces?
Yes,
we do.
We are about 70% full right now, so we do have a couple open spaces, but we're expecting to fill up pretty quick, so.
Call now, or go out there and get registered. Can they call and do it over the phone?
Yeah, of course. Okay. They can call 575-623-4444.
Okay, and then if they go to the First Tee of SoutheastNewMexico.com website, can they register online, or is there a way to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You can most definitely register online and pay online. Basically, if you go through the website and you sign up and get everything together and pay online, all you have to do is show up on the day that you're scheduled for and we'll go from there.
And great communication back. I've gotten lots of emails so that I'm very on top of what I said on top of, and then I couldn't tell y'all what day it was, but that's because I don't pay attention. But I got the emails that told me, so that they're wanting to make sure everybody has all the information they need to get their kids there and enjoy. And again, this is for the fall. You had the summer, you'll have spring.
Mm-hmm.
Really the only major gap is the winter. And that's just because, golfing in general takes a little bit of a break, except for here. We have people playing year round in Hobbs.
Right.
I mean, I know Rockwind really doesn't have a gap, but programming has a little bit of a gap. So get in now to get the fall and then be excited about what's going to happen next spring.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned a few minutes ago, I hate to have to talk about it, but are y'all on a limited, are you having to minimize how many people can register to adhere to the orders?
Yeah, we are. So we're actually doing a 20-person cap for our Monday, Wednesday 5 to 6-year-olds and Thursday and Friday classes. That way we can keep our ratios 5 to 1.
Okay.
Just to abide by all the guidelines and whatnot. And so usually we are above that. Not much though. For First Tee standards, our ratios are 5 to 1, 6 to 1. We stay really close to that just for our national, for national purposes. And
because
stuff.
Of
and
what
so,
I talked about earlier, of just needing
it's okay. definitely closer to one-on-one, which is more needed for golf. And so it's not really different for us, but we do have to have a cap, which we haven't had before. And
right. You've tried to just different. Fit in as many as you
yeah,
can and
exactly.
make it work.
Okay. Yeah.
But that it's great to know, though, that it isn't really drastically different.
No, it's not.
And that you're still being able to get in a lot of the same amount of kids mm-hmm. that you would have before.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And the more coaches we have, the more kids we have, of right. course. So we are looking to hire coaches okay. if needed. Of course, it's not as many hours as someone prefer, but it's great right. for a high school kid during these times, a college
extra,
kid during these times.
Money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. It's about 10 to 20 hours a week in the afternoons. Really, really easy and just a lot of fun to be out there and be with everyone.
Right.
And so we're also looking for volunteers always. But
awesome. You take all of the help you can get.
Yes, right. always.
But you're willing to pay for some help too.
Yes, of course. We'll always pay for some help.
Okay. Tease me a little bit about what's coming up as far as fundraisers, because while this program... obviously the only way you're able to provide $60 fees and mm-hmm. scholarships is because you have a lot of assistance. I think there's some sponsor opportunities that sometimes based on sponsoring some of the events you have that are fundraisers, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you already had one event this year, but you've got some more coming up that people could get involved in.
Yeah, definitely. So we had the Pro-Am already, which happened during the summer. It was great. Huge success. We have a golf program coming up October 10th that okay. It's just a 4-person scramble. Anyone can sign up. Really laid back. And then we have Boar's Head coming up as well, which is our annual fundraiser to where we sell the specialty meats and cheeses to anyone who would like to buy.
Oh, right.
But something different that we also do is that we do tee sign sponsors. And so on okay. the par 3 course, you see hole 1 on the rock. Well, on the bottom, you can look and there's a plate that says, you know, Nova Mud or any of those different oil field companies usually. But right. If you want to sponsor one of those, you can get your company name, your name on there, and you can actually sponsor a hole on the par 3 course for the first tee.
The proceeds so, all go to the first tee and you
yeah.
get the exposure to everybody who walks
right.
that course.
Exactly. So we have the exposure from there. The proceeds go to us. The tournament proceeds go to us. Okay. I mean, it's just, it's really great. So then we can provide more scholarships for kids.
Awesome. And so. The Boar's Head stuff, is that sold by your first tee students or is that sold by staff?
It's usually sold by staff just because right. It's later in the season. It's right. after we're already done with our classes. And so okay. usually staff goes around and hands it out to sell. But it's a great, great Christmas gift. It comes yeah. around mm-hmm. Christmas, so it's a right. great Christmas gift or, you know, anything for the holidays.
Delicious
so.
Food that you can get that's kind of, it's probably packaged cool and mm-hmm. we know it's delicious. And
yeah,
kind of
it's
thing.
Great.
Okay, well, so if anybody's interested in doing that, once it starts happening closer to Christmas, you can go to Rockland and get more information mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
On that.
Definitely.
I'm sure it'll be on their Facebook page.
Yes.
And again, there are so many ways that you can get involved, but most importantly, let's get these kids involved and get them benefiting from all the great things that is First Tee of Southeast New Mexico, specifically our Hobbs program out at Rockland Community Links. Anything else that we didn't hit, ladies? We did good. I think we touched a lot of stuff today.
No, I think we're good. I mean, we'll always take people yeah. to come work, of course.
Right?
That's our main thing. And okay. please sign your kids up. We love seeing them out there. We love getting them involved in the program. And, you know, it's just great to see that out at the golf course. It's, I mean, you could look down during a normal season, you could look down on the driving range and you would see our little kids uh-huh. work up to the high school kids, to the college kids. And you could, and it was all full of just
awesome.
Kids playing golf. And it was the coolest thing ever
that
to just
kind
stand
of
back and
heart.
Look.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially like,
for
it was so
avid
cool.
golfers and people who have devoted their life to golf in some way or mm-hmm. benefited from it and others. And to be able to know that these kids are just out and they're happy and enjoying themselves,
right.
which I think is great because I find myself very frustrated when I play golf.
yeah.
Kids seem to think that it is okay if you've missed that ball.
Right. No. And really, if you can't afford it, just contact us. There are plenty okay. of scholarships. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, if you have equipment, you're welcome to bring it. But if you don't worry about it. We can provide everything that you need.
Which is really key for probably getting anybody new in. Those would be both, mm-hmm. I would think, mental hindrances to people thinking that, oh, we can't do that. We
right.
don't have the ability.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Right.
Go
especially
do
during this time. Don't
mm-hmm.
go buy anything.
Okay.
If you can't afford it, just come talk to us and we'll get those
help
kids out there.
Happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Ladies, such a pleasure to have you here today. And a big thank you to you for continuing to bring normalcy to our world. That's what I call this. That's what this show is about, with some normalcy in our world. This is not only just a great program every day, but I'm excited to know that it's still happening in spite of what is not so normal in the rest of the world. First Tee, they are doing it up in style this fall, so don't miss out. Get your kids involved, find out more information on their Facebook page, the website, get those kids registered and ready for the, in 2 weeks it starts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Week and a half basically, right? Yeah. So can't wait to bring my baby out to let him have his first tea experience. Ladies, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for
having us. Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, folks, that does it for today. We did give you lots of good stuff to get excited about here in Lee County, and I am so grateful to my guests for coming and doing it. I am super excited that you continue to listen to Lee County with Lindsay on KNMJ 100.9 FM as we hope to keep bringing more good information about things that you can get involved in and be part of as we continue to move through now what is going to be September. I cannot believe it. I hope you have a great week. I hope that you join us again. And of course, we'll have this opportunity for you to listen to this show live on the normal times that we provide it, but also on our podcast. And you can go to our Facebook page each week and find out what show is up and connect to that podcast channel, and then you can find all the back shows as well. So I appreciate you. I'm Lindsay Chisholm McCarter. Have a great day, Lee County.